take the benefits from that. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. And
God's Word
is the revelation of His will for my life.
Whatever says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it. In
Jesus' name.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Father, help us to be doers of this word. We pray in Jesus' most precious name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. We're going to start talking about faith. Praise God.
Amen.
We need to learn how to unreap the seeds we sown, but we can only do that as we understand what faith is. We'll be talking about the power of our tongues, because that has a lot to do with faith. But the first thing we need to deal with is the foundation for faith, which is understanding who God is. See, I wanted to skip along and really begin to just drive into talking about the power of our mouths and our words. But I don't know why I just can't seem to get away from the subject of God's character. I just don't understand it. But every time I read a scripture now, it seems always something about God's character pops up in my head. So, well, that's the pastor you got, so sorry. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You must believe that God is. That is the full foundation for faith. See, one of the mistakes I believe we've made in our modern faith movement, and I am a product, a child of the faith movement of the 70s and 80s, hallelujah. I'm a product of those great men of God, Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and Frederick Casey Price and Jerry Savelle and Derek Prince. You know, some of these teachers, most of you young people have never even heard of before in your lives, because they got a lot of the stuff you see on TBN now, some of these new preachers, and most of them I don't even watch. And that's not saying I got anything against them. I'm just saying I don't watch them, praise God. And my wife can tell you why I don't watch them, because every time I watch them, then I start getting mad because they say something I think is not in line with the scriptures. So I start wanting to criticize, so I decided I just won't watch them at all. Hallelujah. That keeps me from judging. But I am a product of the faith movement. But one of the things I saw in the faith movement that, not so much from the founding fathers of the faith movement, but more from the from most of us who are followers of these teachers, we got more caught up in principles of faith than we did in God himself. Praise God. Listen to this. You know when you're more caught up in faith than God when you say this. Man, my faith got me this new car. Praise God. My faith got me a house. Praise God. My faith got me healed. Where's God in that? Did God get you the new car?
Amen.
Did God get you the new house? Did God get you to is God the healer? Is your faith the healer? See, exactly. It's supposed to be my faith in God. But what we got caught up in was faith, faith, faith. Faith almost became our God instead of God being our God. Praise God. My wife, she knows what I'm talking about. We were a big part of that kind of stuff. But even back then, I used to say to myself, this just thing don't seem right. Are we honoring God, or are we bragging about what great spiritual faith we got? That's what most of us were doing. It was more to pump ourselves up and show that we are great people of faith. Well, if you understand God, you will have great faith. Praise God. If you don't understand God, you will always fail. And that is the reason, and I can tell you right now, being caught up in the principle of faith is one of the reasons why so many fail to receive from God as well. Glory to God. So many people got mad and got discouraged by faith teaching because they got caught up more in the principles than in God who blesses. Because they didn't get healed, because they were dependent on their faith to heal them instead of depending on God to heal them, then they didn't receive their healing. And so they felt like, well, maybe it's not God's will to heal. No, it was God's will to heal, but you was calling on faith to do it instead of calling on God to do it. Praise God. Well, maybe it's not God's will to supply all my needs. Yes, it is God's will to supply all your needs. But stop but remember, it's God who supplies your needs, not faith. Hallelujah. My faith is simply the hand that reaches out to God and says, God, I trust you. Bless me according to your promises. Hallelujah. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 strongly places that foundation exactly where it should be, which is on God. And it says, but without faith, it is a little bit difficult to please him.
Impossible.
Is that what your Bible says?
Yes.
Now, what if I said it's difficult?
Well, that's what the Bible says.
Ushers! Get that girl. No. But without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible.
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 For you Espanolis. It is impossible to please him. That means, apart from faith, you can't please God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But remember, with faith, with apart from faith, you can't please him. Say him.
Him.
That's talking about God. See, your faith is the connection to God. Your faith is not your connection to faith. Your faith is not your connection to the blessing. Your faith is your connection to God who dispenses the blessing. Hallelujah. So, without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible.
Impossible.
It is impossible to please him. How many of y'all want to be father pleasers? Who wants to please the father? Oh, I want to please my daddy. I want God to be pleased with me. That's why I make every effort to walk by faith. Praise God. So without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Say, believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So right here, we see that we must believe that he is. Now, most people will tell you, at least the majority of Bible translations I saw and I looked at, you know, the wonderful thing about the internet is now you can look at almost a majority of the Bible translations that are in English. And I saw numerous Bible translations, and almost 90% of them will translate this passage to say, you must believe that he exists. In other words, they believe that what Paul, I believe it was Paul that wrote this passage. They believe that Paul is saying here is that you must believe in the existence of God if you're going to please God. I don't believe that that's what this passage is saying. Praise God. Now, forgive me, all you Bible experts that may be listening to this, all those of you who have studied the Greek and the Hebrew, but I don't agree with you because I'm going by what the Word God says. Amen. Amen. But let me share with you three of the reasons why I don't believe that. First, if you read the beginning of this book, the first chapter, you will see that this book was written to Hebrew Christians. Amen. And it was written to the Jewish Christians of that time, and it was not written to unsaved people. Praise God.
Amen.
So how can Jewish Christians, why would you tell Jewish Christians that you've got to believe that he exists? That's like telling, how many of y'all would call yourself saved, born again in here? How many of you know you are born again? Now, wouldn't it be stupid for me to tell you that you know you born again that, well, brother, in order for you to receive from God, you must first believe that he exists. That's a given, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm born again. Why would I need to believe? Why would you need to even exhort me on that one? That's like, before I'm saved, you need to talk about that one. So I don't believe that that's what it's talking about here, because he's writing to Jewish Christians. And the second thing is that the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it ever attempt to defend God's existence anyway. Praise God. The Bible assumes God's existence. It doesn't make any attempt to defend God's existence. It's now in this day age of technology where atheism has become stronger, where Darwinism has taken a hold of our schools and have turned people into atheists. That is why we now have to defend the existence of God. But it wasn't always that way. Back in those days, almost everybody believed that there was a God. Praise God. Some of them believed in multiple gods. They believed in Zeus, Hercules, and Apollo, and all those type of gods. They may have believed in a whole bunch of gods, and some of them believed in one God. But back then, atheism was not the big thing. There was very few atheists back then. So the Bible never defends God's existence. Hallelujah. Amen. And finally, this passage is in reference to getting answers to prayer. So I don't need to tell you that God exists in order for you to get answers to prayer. First of all, if you don't believe that God exists, we need to skip over talking about getting answers to prayer. We need to talk about you getting saved. Praise God. But the apostle here was trying to exhort the people to understand that it is faith that gets things from God. Hallelujah. And he started off in verse 5 by talking about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And he pleased God. And because he pleased God, God took him. Now, let me stop right there to say that if God takes you, that don't mean he's going to kill you. Hallelujah. God's way of taking you is to rapture you and bring you to heaven with him. Sometimes somebody dies in a car accident, or they die of some kind of sickness or something, and we say, God took him. No, that God didn't take him. It was cancer that destroyed him. It was a car accident. It was a drunk driver that did it. Praise God. We blame God for the devil's work so often. The Bible says that Satan is the murderer. Hallelujah. John 8:44. God, we keep blaming God for the work of murder that Satan does. Somebody's child gets kidnapped, molested, raped, and killed, and then we get mad at God and say, God, why did you do this? Or the more pious ones say, well, God needed a little flower in heaven. But God didn't need to go that route. God has enough power to create enough flowers. Praise God. He don't need to kill children and have them hurt and killed in order to have a little child in heaven or a little flower in heaven. We blame so much on him. I'm so sad by some of the stuff we blame on God. But anyway, this passage is talking about receiving from God like Enoch did. When Enoch was taken, he was taken without ever dying because he pleased God. Hallelujah. And so this is not talking about God's existence. Now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. That's the second book in your Old Testament. I want to show you what I really and fully believe that this scripture is talking about. When it says that we must believe that he is. Say, believe that he is. You must believe that he is. Glory to God.
What is the scripture again?
Exodus chapter 3. Let's just look at verse 14. It says, now by way of background, you know, Moses used to be one of the princes of Egypt, and he found out he was a Hebrew, and he saw one of his brothers being mistreated one day by an Egyptian. He killed the guy, and the king of Egypt said, I'm going to kill Moses. Moses ran away, stayed in the desert for 40 years, and he was a shepherd. And so then God comes to him in a burning bush and tells Moses that I need you to go back and get my people out of Egypt. Moses decides I really don't want to do that. And he's like, I don't even know who you are. And you tell me, go get your people out of Egypt. And God begins to tell Moses. And Moses also asks God, well, who do I tell them who you are? And he tells, in verse 14, he says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Praise God. Mm-hmm. He is. He says, I am. That means he is. Praise Jesus. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. That's a strange name, ain't it? I am. That's a strange name. But God never gives you revelation without some kind of meaning that will benefit you. The name I am is a covenant name. And if you interpret it literally, it means whatever you need me to be, I will be. Praise God. Yes. Basically, what God is telling you here, when he says, I am that I am, he says, here is a blank check. Whatever you need me to be, write it out. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Now, let me qualify that, because some people might have distorted thinking. Whatever you need God to be, that is consistent with his word and with his holiness, that is what he will be to you. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I hope I don't need to explain that any further. Whatever is consistent with his holiness and with his word. But the wonderful thing about God is, it's so much good things that are so unlimited. He is so unlimited to you. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
He will be a father to you. He will be a peacemaker to you. He will be your healer. He is Jehovah Rapha, which means I am the Lord that healeth thee. He will be your victory banner over all your enemies. He is the Lord your banner. He will be your righteousness. I am the Lord your righteousness. Praise God.
Amen.
So you have right standing before God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that he who knew no sin became sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God.
Amen.
Well, but Pastor, I sinned last night. Did you ask God to forgive you? Well, yeah. Then the Bible tells you that he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But Pastor, you don't know what I did. I don't need to know. The Bible says that he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Praise God.
Amen.
But Pastor, I killed 3 people last night. Well, let's call the police. You're going to jail, but he still has forgiven you. Yes, I will turn you in, but he still has. But I will visit you in prison. Amen. Glory to God. So he is your righteousness. He is your sanctification.
Amen.
All glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He is the supplier of all your needs. He is Jehovah
Jireh.
Thank you. Thank you, Bradamus. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Praise God. The many-breasted one. Oh, glory to God. He is the supplier of every one of your needs. That is what he will be to you. He says, whatever you need me to be, that is what I will be. So when you read where it says that you must believe that he is, that is telling you that you must believe everything that God said that he would be to you.
Amen.
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 Now, why is this so important? It really goes back to the foundation of faith and the character of God. Because I can't believe God to provide me with something or deliver me from something if he is the one who put me in something in the first place. Praise God. If God is the one who put sickness on me, then it's very much difficult for me to believe him to heal me. You see, a lot of people believe that God put sickness on them in order to teach them a lesson, or to help them to grow spiritually, or for some different aspect. But if you believe that he is the sickness bringer, it's very difficult to believe him to be your healer as well. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to believe that God is, sometimes we also got to understand what he is not. Now, back in December, I tried to teach on that lesson And I still have the outline that I did and everything, but I haven't had a chance to get back to that, and I probably won't. But we will get to it sooner or later. But we talked about what God is not and what he has not. And we learned there are some things that God specifically says he is not. Praise God. Amen. And one of the things that says he is not the author of confusion. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
And he is not the one who does evil. He is not the one who sends your enemies against you. See, if we understand what God says he is not, then we will be able to stand against those things that he is not, because we will then understand who he is. See, if we understand that Satan is the sickness bringer, that he is the sickness bringer, and we understand that God is the Lord our healer, then it's much easier to stand against sickness, because we know that God is bigger than the devil, praise God.
Amen.
We know he's much bigger than him, and we can say, hey, yeah, you're trying to bring sickness, but I don't own that. Mm-hmm. I own God, who is my healer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, you're trying to mess with me on my job right now, but God is my victory banner, praise God.
Amen.
How many of y'all, every once in a while, get messed with on the job?
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all get a little bit of persecution every once in a while?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been through a lot of it. Yeah. I tell you, the past 2 years, I've gotten outstanding performance reports, praise God.
Amen.
But 2 years before that, I gotten bad, but they were in the middle performance reports. And for things I don't really think was my fault, praise God. I was being persecuted big time. You know what I did? I recognized that the Lord is my victory banner.
Amen.
Through the whole thing. It was hard. See, some of y'all quit too easily.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all quit too easily when the pressure comes on you.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, God's not with me. Yeah, he's with you, baby. He's with you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
See, that's what you got to start confessing with your mouth. Instead of saying things like, God is not with me, destroying your own faith by your own words, begin to say, the Bible says he will never leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He is with me until the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. The ends of the age. He is with me. He will never leave me. The Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit has come, he will abide with you forever. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The only way you can get rid of the Holy Spirit is if you push him away. And you got to push him hard. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get mad at God for nothing, God's fault. Just getting mad because of circumstances and stuff. And he would still put up with my foolishness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a good God. But in order to believe that God is, you really got to grasp what he is not. And, you know, I asked some questions I just asked. You know, are we able to exercise faith in God if we believe him to be anything but the supplier of that which is good? Can we? No, we can't. It's hard. Because if you think that God brings both good and bad your way, then it's very difficult to have faith in him. Because you can't have faith in a schizophrenic God. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a wishy-washy person, you would have a difficult time trusting me. One day I'm up, the next day I'm down.
Yeah.
One day I'm promising you, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that. And the next day you call me up and you say, Pastor, are you able to take care of that? Why are you bothering me? I ain't got time for all that right now. Will you please leave me alone? Don't you see I'm busy? I'm a pastor. I work too, okay? I got family. And then you on the phone like, all right. And then the next day you go up to Pastor Steve and say, you know, we ought to trust Pastor. You ain't gonna do that, will you?
No.
I have complete faith in Pastor. That he's a nut. No. See, if I'm schizophrenic, if I'm bipolar, whatever you want to call it, if I'm one way, 1 minute, and then a different person the next minute, you can't trust me. Well, what do you think? Now, I don't understand. If you feel that way about a human being, how is it that so many people think that God can be bipolar and yet you're still supposed to be able to have faith in him? But there are books written about a bipolar. They won't call him bipolar, but the ones I read, he sounds bipolar to me. Yes, it is God who puts those, who sends all those things your way, the calamities, the accidents, the pain, the misery, because he wants to teach you something, but he loves you. Okay. God sent a semi tractor trailer truck to smash into my car, paralyze me. I can't move my arms or legs. The only thing I can move is my head. My wife now has to take care of me the rest of my life, and she's hoping I die early. She ain't gonna say it. She's a loving wife. She'll feed me. She'll say, "Honey, I love you," and she'll be sitting there saying, "Father, take him home." Choking die, please. but I'm supposed to sit there and say, "God did this to me because he loves me." What kind of love is that?
Hey,
Brad. Thank you, Brad. Brad's one of my best students. He's getting an A. That is not love. So, but a lot of people like to do this. They like to say this stuff, and then they, when you try to tell them, "Well, I don't understand. Why would God act this way, and yet you say he's love?" Well, brother, it's a mystery. God's ways are mysterious. His wonders to perform. Glory to the Most High God. No, God is not the author of mystery religion. Praise God.
Amen.
God specifically tells us that he wants us to understand and know him.
Amen.
Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. God wants you to understand him and know him. That is why I believe that God continually deals with me about revealing to this congregation his character. Praise
Amen.
God. To put so much, I just didn't understand why I had to put so much emphasis on his character, you know, as if that was the only thing I knew. But I see that many times we get God confused. We think that he is the author of so many things that he is not. The fact is that unless I know the truth about God, I will not have faith in him to do anything for me. Praise God.
Amen.
And he wants to do so many wonderful things for his children. I'm going to tell you, my girls, I don't believe they're afraid to ask me for anything. They may get a no, but they ain't afraid to ask. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they came to me and said, "Daddy, could you?" And I said, "Get out of my face!" I don't think they'd ever come to me. What's that mean?
That was just that one
you
time.
Yeah, exactly.
You still... No, yeah, I know y'all would because y'all know me now. That's why. But see, y'all know I wouldn't do that to you, but... But if I was that way while y'all was growing up, then you'd be scared.
Yeah.
So that's what happens to a lot of abusive children who have been abused by their parents. They're afraid to go to their parents because they've been abused. See, now that doesn't mean my girls got spoiled, but they knew that they were loved. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And so so even now they're not afraid to come to me, and I can't even get them out of my house as grown as they are. Because they know they love. They take advantage of the love. But see, if you are a bad father or a bad parent, you know, like my wife is a very good mother, you know, that even more than me, they go to her. And she just takes my money and just gives it to them. No, when you're married, it's equal. It's each other's money. Praise God. But anyway, what I'm trying to help you to understand is that when it comes to God, if you believe that he is a certain type of way, you will be afraid to go to him.
Amen.
And God does not want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to. Now, he wants you to fear him. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between fear and fearing God, as the Bible teaches, and being afraid of God. Fearing God simply means respect, holiness, and reverence. Amen.
Amen.
Now, my children don't, they're not afraid of me, but they do respect me. Praise God.
Amen.
They respect me, and they know there's only so much they could get away with. They know that they can't disrespect me. We can joke and we can play and we can have fun, but when it comes to BS, I don't do none. Amen.
Amen.
And BS means bull sake. I'm a Christian. I ain't supposed to say other words. All right. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. And it reads, but let him that glory in it, let's start with verse 23, because this really is a text that a lot of my friends who are part of the faith movement really need to listen to this, because where we continue to brag about ourselves, how much faith we got, and how much great things we could do, we left God out of it, and so this passage is a rebuke to us who did this. Verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Amen. Amen. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Praise God. Amen. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Hallelujah. Amen. And I would go as far as to say, let not the faith man glory in his faith. Amen. But verse 24 says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me.
Amen.
That he understandeth and knoweth me. Now, what are we supposed to know about God? He says, I am.
He is.
He is.
Amen.
He goes on to say that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness. Whoo! Loving kindness. That loving kindness, you know what that word means? Loving and kind. Praise God.
Yeah.
He exercises loving kindness. Judgment. Now, don't be scared of the word judgment. Praise God. The word judgment simply means that God will, when Satan brings accusations against you, God will judge you. And if you have repented, his judgment is, Satan, my blood has covered him. That's my judgment. Next. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm so glad about the blood of Jesus, because Satan had plenty of accusations against me. Praise God.
Amen.
But God's judgment was already was always the blood has covered that boy.
Amen.
Leave him alone. Praise God.
Amen.
And righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, look at what God delights in. He doesn't delight in people's destruction. The Bible says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't delight in that. God's delight is in loving kindness, judgment, good judgment, and righteousness, right standing with him. That's his, what he delights in. Oh, I love this God. He wants to love you. He wants to be kind to you. He says, I am the Lord that executed. Say, I am.
I am.
Say, he is.
He is.
He is loving kind.
He is loving.
He is loving and kind.
He is loving.
Say, he is loving and kind to me.
He is loving.
You need to confess that scripture all the time. Say, he is loving. That is what you are to glory in. That is what you are to brag about. So when the next time you're looking at that new car or that new home that God has blessed you with, or them new clothes that God has blessed you with, you look at that and say, the Lord loves me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't go tell your friend, yeah, I stood in faith for 3 months and finally this came to my house. That's not glorifying God. When you say, when you look and say, look at what the Lord has done for me. There's no need to brag about your faith. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, what is your faith except the hand that says, God, I need? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God wants to do these things for you. But the fact is, you've got to understand and know him. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't understand him, you don't know him, then you won't be able to receive from him. Now, Satan works very hard to blind you from understanding God and knowing God. We're going to look at a couple more passages of scripture. Just two more. But look at Matthew chapter 13. Are you getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Matthew 13. Matthew is the first book in your New Testament. It is on page 1331 of my Bible. Matthew chapter 13. I want to just read two passages. I want to read one and skip on down. Jesus is giving, he's telling a number of parables or stories to the people of his time. Praise God. My wife tells me I got to tell more stories because a lot of y'all like stories and not so many principles that I keep giving you. So especially since a lot of you are African, y'all come from a story-oriented culture. So that's why I have to get with Pastor Steve to learn more stories. Pastor Steve had them stories, boy. That I'm like, man, where does he come up with this stuff? There's some good stories, though, I'm telling you. Amen. Matthew 13, verse 13, it says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. That's one of the reasons why Jesus had to explain more in stories, because a lot of times we don't grasp it unless somebody gives us an illustration. But then if you jump down to verse 19, but before I get there, I just need to point out the fact that Jesus wanted them to understand so badly. That's why he told stories. Praise God. He wanted people to understand God. One of his missions in coming to earth was to do battle with Satan, to free us, and to help us to understand the truth about the Father. Praise God. So many, even back in those days, had a warped and distorted picture of God. And Jesus, one of his main reasons for coming is to help us to understand that God is a loving Father. Verse 19, he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and take away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. See, if you don't understand, then Satan will be able to destroy you. Praise God. And this is the reason why I have to build this foundation concerning the understanding of God, that God is everything that he said that he is, and he is not what he says he is not. Praise God. Amen. See, if you don't understand that, then no matter what else I teach you, I can teach you all the powerful principles of how to use your tongue, the power of your tongue, and how it can bring you blessing and cursing. I can tell you about prayer and the power that you have in prayer. I can tell you about your authority in Christ Jesus and how you're able to speak to demons and command them to go and they must go, how you have divine protection over the devil. But if you don't understand it, Satan will take away that which you have. And I've seen the truth of this scripture in 30 years of ministry. I have seen the truth of this. So many people, we teach this stuff to, and yet they still fall by the wayside, praise God. They still fail to stand on the word of God. They still don't ever seem to get victory in their lives. And you sit there and you wonder, well, what is going on? And we didn't talk this. We didn't live an example before them, and they still can't seem to grasp it. It's because they always fail to understand. Praise Jesus. Mm-hmm. So me, that's one of the reasons why this is a teaching ministry. Say teaching ministry. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I sometimes I want to draw much bigger crowds, And so sometimes I would love to just do the yeah. I ate a Snickers bar last night and it was good. Hey. Oh, I would love to do that. Now I got some friends. They some good preachers. That and they preach the word. Praise God. And they're anointed to do that. But quite often I can go to some of the churches, and I just spend my time teaching. And even the pastors that I'm teaching are amazed at the gift that God has given me. And some of them even tell me. Well, at least one of them told me, I wish I could keep you here. But the thing is that we need understanding. And that's what the purpose of teaching you is for. In order for you to get understanding, praise God. Because if you don't understand him, you don't understand and you don't know your God, then you will not be strong and be able to do exploits, praise God. He told Daniel, he said, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's why God told Jeremiah, this is what I want you to glory in, that you understand and know me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you can understand and know God, then your faith will soar very high. Let's look at one more passage of scripture. Turn with me to Psalm 46. I just want to show you one more He is scripture. Psalm 46. If you're taking notes, write down, you don't have to turn to it, but write down Psalm 27 and 1 as well. You can even write down Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack for nothing. He is. Say he is.
He is.
See, what you need to do is, I'm just showing you one. If I was going to show you all, we'd be here all day and all night and all day the next day. Praise God. Because there's so many passages in the Bible that talks about what he is and who he is that it astounds me. That the majority of church still believe that he is something that he says he ain't. Praise God. But they keep failing to look at what he says he is. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2, it says, God is our refuge. Say he is.
He is.
God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Say he is.
He is.
A very present help. In trouble. Hallelujah. Verse 2 goes on to say, therefore will not we fear. Listen to me. Fear is the opposite of faith. If you are in fear, then you don't have faith. But see, you won't have, if you're going to be fearful if you don't know who God is. And you're going to be scared. But you can have faith if you know who God is. Praise God. So therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. In other words, no matter how bad the circumstances are, if I know who God is to me, I won't fear. Even if the mountains be moved and thrown into the sea, I will sit there and say, God is my refuge. He is my very present help in trouble. Praise God.
Amen.
I listen to some of these end time preachers, and if you listen to them too much, they will scare the living daylights out of you. Oh, it's going to be a mess. The devil's going to take over, and Christians will be persecuted left and right. Oh, God is my refuge. Praise God.
Amen.
Even if the rapture doesn't come, and I'm left behind, then God is still my refuge. God is still my very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. That word trouble in the Hebrew means adversary, adversity, affliction, anguish, distress, tribulation, trouble. A lot of people tell you that God is the one who puts tribulation and affliction on you. No, we are in a world where there is a warfare. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Satan, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, say adversary.
Adversary.
That word trouble, one of the meanings of that word trouble means is adversary. So your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, that word trouble also means afflictions, amen. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Glory to God.
Amen.
All right, I'm out of time, but I wanted you to see that trouble is not from God. Trouble is from the adversary. It doesn't mean that being with God means you're going to be trouble-free, because you're in the world where you're going to have, where there is tribulation. Jesus said, in the world, you will suffer tribulation. But then he goes on to say, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, stand fast, because God is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your very present help in trouble. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This was one of the scriptures that I confessed every single day a couple years ago when I was really going through some serious trials.
Amen.
I stood on this one. I stood on Psalm 27 and 1. I confessed them just about every single day. I would speak those scriptures, and God delivered me. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God delivered me. God will do the same thing for you, but you've got to stand on the word of God. I recognize who God is to me. I recognize, I said, Daddy, you are not the one that's causing me these problems. I know the devil's attacking me, and I stood, and I said, but I know you will rescue me. Praise God.
Amen.
It sure took him a long time, but. I mean, I went through for a while. God even sent, some guy from, I don't want to get into it. It's a long story, but I was at the I was a stranger, a complete stranger, walked up to me. My wife knows the story because I came home and I was like smiling in the midst of all the trouble. A complete stranger walked up to me and said, "I never did this before, but God, it seemed like God has told me to talk to you and tell you that this thing that you're going through right now is not going to last long." Now, when he said that, it still lasted like several more months. but last long to God seems to be different from what I think of last long is. but he said several other things that, I mean, it was like, wow, God loves me so much that he would send a complete stranger to me.
Yes.
Man didn't even know who I was, what I was going through, or anything. But God spoke to that man and spoke to me, and I saw, I can just stand on his word, and God delivered. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Close your eyes and bow your heads. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Won't we just take a moment to worship him? Just worship.